And turn with me, please, to John chapter number 16. John chapter 16. And I have of late, I'm not doing a series, I will be preaching through the book of Daniel coming up, if it's the Lord's will, and we get to go back to Amish country the end of April and the first part of May. And I hope if you've never been with us, you'll go with us. We leave on Tuesday and come back on Saturday, and we have a great time. We go to Sight and Sound. We've blessed to see Esther and Moses and some others, David. This year they're doing Daniel. And so if you'd like to travel with us, we'd love for you to. We hope to get some brochures from Brother Ricky and them pretty soon. I'm going to be start preaching through the book of Daniel. And I just thought it unusual this morning when Brother Barry was teaching Revelation. He said we really ought to be studying Daniel and Ezekiel along with Revelation. And it's amazing how that in the book of Ezekiel and Daniel and many other Old Testament prophets, you could read the headlines of October of 2023 in your Bible in the Old Testament, 700 years before Christ ever came. And how that God has laid out this thing. God's in control. As I was looking at the message for Miss Martha's funeral and looking at the life of Martha in the Bible just briefly, she confessed that Jesus Christ was Lord. That means He's Lord of everything. Every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He's in control of everything. He created the worlds and that nothing was made without Him according to the Word of God. And He is our Savior. You think about that. The one who fashioned and created everything in this world, clothed Himself in a human body and died that you might have everlasting life. What a blessing. You're living in what the Bible says is perilous times. In the latter days, perilous times shall come. You're living in it now in America, and it's going to get worse as we go along. It's in the world. This world is coming to an end. And there's a sequence of events that are prophesied in the Bible. But as I was studying and reading, thinking about Ms. Martha, and actually through this whole section is where I've been reading that devotionally, God spoke a little truth in my heart for this morning. And I want you to look in chapter 16 and listen to what our Lord said. The disciples are in a very distraught and discouraged frame of mind. Their whole world, as far as they're concerned, is fixing to collapse. They've forsaken all to follow Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And they've given their life to Him because they felt like He was going to establish a kingdom. All through His ministry, He had been telling them, I did not come to set up an earthly kingdom. My kingdom's not of this world. And He has more emphatically begin to teach them that I did not come to live, but I came to die. I came clothed in a human flesh and human flesh not to rule and reign this time. I'm coming back and I'll do it when I come back. But on this time, when I came this time, I came to give my life a ransom and to die. I'm going to suffer, bleed and die that you might have everlasting life. Been hard for them to comprehend because they've seen Him resurrect dead people. They've seen Him open blind eyes, heal lame limbs. They've seen Him forgive sin. He's seen Him forgive and transform people, people who were lunatics and couldn't even be bound with chains. They had supernatural strength to break chains like they were sewing machine thread. And they saw that person dramatically changed, clothed and in his right mind and sitting at the feet of Jesus. They've seen all of that, and they just knew that He was going to do it. And they asked the question, you know, when? And when you come to the kingdom, can I sit on your right hand? All that thing. And just hard for them. They were kind of like us. They couldn't comprehend it. But now the reality is beginning to set in that He means what He said. He did not come to live. He came to die. But more than that, it's going to affect them, not only in the fact that He will not be with them, but because they have believed on Him and the world hated Him, they're going to hate them as well. And they're going to face tremendous persecution. You know from church history and studying the Bible that all of the disciples died a death of torture or whatever, except for one. And he gave us the book of Revelation. And the Holy Ghost of God used him for that. Just recently, Denise and the family have been traveling, and they got to go to the Isle of Patmos. I'd love to went there. That's where they exiled him to. They didn't kill him. They didn't behead him. They didn't crucify him upside down like they did some of the disciples. But they boiled him in oil and then exiled him to the Isle of Patmos. And that's where God, the Holy Ghost, spoke to him. And the wonderful thing about it, it all started when he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Boy, it's a good thing if you get the Spirit of God and you're on an exiled in a desolate island and you've got scars from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. If you can still get and worship in the power of the Holy Ghost of God and get caught up in the Spirit and have joy unspeakable, full of glory, you got the goods. You're the real deal. And so they did. But now they need something that's going to help them. How do you find comfort in terrible times? That's what they're looking at. They're looking at terrible times. I want to read a lengthy passage of Scripture. You follow with me, and then I'm going to try my best. Brad knows what I'm talking about, to get the words right. I have two problems. One, I can't quite see as good as I used to, and the other is I can't remember to get my glasses. So notice chapter 16, verse 1. These things have I spoken to you that you should not be offended. Now, what's he talking about? He's told them what they were going to suffer. He said, I'm going to tell you right now, when I'm gone, you're going to have it. You're going to go through tough times. You're going to have terrible days ahead of you. You'll experience the presence of the fullness of the Holy Ghost of God on the day of Pentecost. You'll have power to preach, power to heal. But you're going to suffer great persecution because of your believing in me and following me. And I'm telling you this ahead of time now so you won't be offended. That means to be disappointed or disheartened or discouraged. He said, just know it's going to happen. And know this is going to happen. Know that times are coming. Terrible times are coming. And it's on us now. But he said, I don't want you to be offended. I don't want you to be discouraged or disheartened when it happened. You just remember, I told you it was going to happen. But now he's not going to leave them like that. He's going to give them some hope for encouragement. He goes on to tell them what some of those things would be. Verse 2, they shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them and these things. And I said not unto you at the beginning because I was with you. He said, I began to reveal these things. I didn't tell you in the very beginning, but he said, I want you to know it. Are you bringing me some glasses? Well, they're yours or April's? Not that it makes a difference. But do you remember the fella that went to preach one Sunday morning and he preached an hour and a half and it dawned on him at the end of the sermon. He said, folks, I am so sorry, but when I put my false teeth in this morning, I got my wife's instead of mine. And my microphone was on when I said that. Thank you, Brad. Notice verse 3. These things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me. And none of you ask me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. How do you find comfort in terrible times? Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, He will reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Of sin, because it believes not on me, and righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, and he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. A little while, and you shall not see me. And yet a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of the disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us, a little while, and you shall not see me? And again, a little while, and you shall see me, because I go to my Father. They said, therefore, what is this that he saith, a little while? We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask of him, and said unto them, do you inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and you shall not see me, and again, a little while, and you shall see me? Verily, verily, I say unto you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. You shall be sorrowful, but your joy shall be turned into, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she's in travail, hath sorrow. That's when she's given birth, because her hour's come. But as soon as she's delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak to you in Proverbs, but shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray unto the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly and speaketh no proverbs. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needeth not that any man should ask thee. But this we believe, that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, and is now come, that ye shall be scattered, and every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I want to thank you again for the wonderful singing of the congregation. Lord, I want to thank you for the anointing on the choir this morning and blessing us. Lord, thank you for blessing Miss Kay. Thank you for the honor and privilege and the blessing of dedicating Jace this morning. Thank you for Britt and Ashton and their family. God, do bless and meet every need they have. And God, I ask now the Holy Ghost of God to help us. Our Father, we are living in the world. We are real people. There are real sorrows. There are real dangers. And things will get worse. But God, I'm glad that there can be comfort in terrible times. And you have set the stage now for your disciples, for your crucifixion, for the cruel mockings, Lord, for the repercussions that they'll reap because they followed you. The blessing of the anointing and fullness of the Holy Ghost of God, the salvation of many. But God, their personal times of persecution and suffering because of what they believe and how they've lived to follow you. Now, God, I pray, God, in these days, you'd help us to find comfort in what you said to your disciples, and God, that we'll find guidance. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. In this wonderful passage of scripture I've just read to you, there are several things that I see as a comfort. As I was reading, I get up in the morning and I do my devotions. I usually turn the TV on, especially now in the last little bit. I go to Newsmax and I watch and see, kind of get a little update on what's going on, what's happening with Israel. And it's never good news. It's always a hard time. In our own country, we've seen demonstrations, pro-Hamas demonstrations in our own country, in our own Senate, in the Capitol, around the Capitol building, and all across this country, anti-Jewish demonstrations and all those things. And we're living in the last days is where you're living at. But thank God we know the beginning and we know the end. But here he gives his disciples some recipes or some reasons for comfort in terrible time. I'll give them to you quickly this morning. I won't go back and read all the scriptures, but I do want to just call your attention to the first one as we begin to go back through. He's told them that your heart is filled with sorrow. They're brokenhearted. They are despondent. They're discouraged. But now look at verse 7. And nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. If I know not a way, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, and I will send him unto you. How do you get through terrible time? What is our comfort in terrible days? It is the abiding presence, the presence of the Holy Spirit of God in our life. Do you know that living inside of every believer, what he did, he convicted you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He showed you were lost, so showed you were on your way to hell, so you couldn't save yourself, and then showed you that Jesus Christ had paid your sin debt. He enabled you to believe, and he enabled you to call, and you called upon him, and when you did, the Holy Ghost of God came in your heart crying, Abba, Father. He is now the seal. He's the earnest. He is the down payment on your eternal salvation. And he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Holy Spirit of God that was with God the Father and God the Son before the world ever was. The Holy Spirit of God that brooded upon the face of the earth in the days of creation. The Holy Spirit of God that did miracles in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit of God that moved and filled the disciples in the early day and gave them boldness to preach in spite of their opposition of the Roman Empire and Judaism of that day. They were hated by the other nation of Rome. And they were hated by their neighbors, their brethren, their kinfolk, the Jews. And they were hated. And yet they continued to serve God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God was living inside of them. And he said, I'm going to send you another comforter. Another comforter. As I was preaching on the potter and the clay, and is doing some research and study, a lot of reading old sermons and everything, a lot of preachers had this opinion that when the vessel was marred in the hand of the potter and he said that the potter made it again another vessel, they say that means a lesser vessel. But I referred to my friend and Jerry Finberg as he taught me about pottery making. And I made that statement to him and he looked at me like I was crazy. He said, Billy, everything that goes out of my shop has my name on it. Why would I make an inferior product? He said, when I release it, when I put it out, he said, it's the very best that I could do. And so I realized that something wasn't quite right. So I really got to looking at that word, another vessel. Another vessel. It doesn't mean one of a lesser kind. And the only other time that really stuck out in my mind was when the Lord was talking to his disciples in these passages of scripture I've just read to you. He said, it's expedient for you that I go away. If I go away, I'll send a comforter. Another place he said, I'll not leave you comfortless. I will send you another comforter. You know what that word another means? It means one of the very same kind. It means that when you get saved, Jesus and the Holy Spirit of God and God the Father all make residence inside of you. One, the Holy Spirit is just like Jesus. Jesus is with you wherever you go. And he told them, he said, I didn't tell you about all the terrible times in the very beginning because I was with you. But now I'm going to leave you. But I just want you to know this. I'm going to send back another one just like me. The Holy Spirit of God, he'll not only be with you, but he'll be in you. Wow. Think about that. The Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you today. If you know Christ, the Spirit of God is inside of you. And my dear friend, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And think about that. I don't care what happens around me. The Holy Spirit of God is never going to forsake me, and He's going to be with me through everything I have to go through. Jesus Christ told the disciples Himself, "You're going to forsake me, but I'm not alone. The Father's with me." And so it is that when we get saved, the Holy Spirit of God stays with us. And here's your comfort. If you're going through a battle with cancer, if you're just concerned about the terrible, perilous days that you live in, here's a word of comfort. The Holy Ghost of God is inside of you. The word comforter means a parakletos. It means one brought alongside. It means one who holds up. It means one who sustains. And the Holy Spirit of God is the one who will sustain you. He's the one who will hold you up in these terrible times. And my dear friend, you can find comfort in this fact, that whatever comes in your life, the Spirit of God is inside of you, and thank God for it. Notice something else as he goes on down through here. Not only does he talk about the presence of the Holy Spirit, he talks about the perception of time. I won't read it all, but in chapter 16, in verse 16, he says, "A little while and you shall not see me, and a little while you shall see me." He wants them to understand the perception of time. It seems like that dark night of sorrow will never end. It seems like the pain will never be over. You have no hope of full recovery, you think. Or it may be that your family is irreconcilable differences, or this nightmare is never going to get over, and all of those things. But he said, I want you to understand something. In the perception of time, what you're going through right now is just a little bitty speck in regard to eternity. In just a little while, in just a little while, he said, you'll see me again. It won't be long before you get to see me. Now, in reality, that was true of them, because many of them didn't live long lives after he was crucified, and they got to be in his presence for all eternity. But my dear friend, it's true for me and you too. What we're going through, what you're going through, is just a little time. And the Bible said this present suffering of this present world not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall follow. Get a perception of time. It's not going to always be like this. Not going to always be like this. I don't know how long. I know how long the tribulation period is going to last. It's going to last 7 years. 7 years. But I'm not planning on being here. And you don't have to be here either. One of the things that Paul rejoiced and thanked the Lord for in the book of 2 Thessalonians is that he has not appointed us to wrath. Wrath is appointed to this earth, but he did not appoint the believer to wrath. He's going to deliver us from the wrath to come. I believe that, still believe that. Will we face dark days in America? Yes, I believe that with all my heart. I believe we're right on the doorstep of it, living it already. But here's a comfort. Not only the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, but understand the precept of time, that it's just a little while. In just a little while, He's coming again. Just a little while, you'll get to see Him. In just a little while, you'll finish your course. In just a little while, you'll get to forever be with the Lord, and all of this will be gone. You won't ever remember it. It'll be gone forever. I was talking with one of our church family whose loved one had heart surgery. And sometime after heart surgery, those of you who've had family members experience this, they go through a time of delirium or whatever they call it. Really, my terms, they just basically lose their mind for a while. They don't. And here's what I told her. I said, when it's over, he won't ever remember it. He won't ever remember. And when this is over, whatever you're going through right now, it's just going to be for a little while. But listen, when it's over, you won't ever remember it again. You won't live in heaven with dark memories. All those things will be gone forever, forever and forever. I feel so sorry for our military personnel who come home and they have that post-traumatic syndrome. It's a real thing. Very painful, because they relive it over and over again. But can I say to you, it's just a little while. If you know Christ, that'll be gone forever. you will never remember it again. You won't ever have to sorrow again. You won't ever have to have that lonely feeling again. You won't have to have that fearful feeling again. It'll be gone. It's just a little while before that's going to happen. It won't be long. Your life, really, in relation to time, is a short time. The Bible said in the book of James, what is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little while, and then it vanisheth away. It's like going over to the cemetery and looking at the date somebody was born and the date they died, and there'll be just a little hyphen right in the middle of it. That's all life is, just that little spell, just a little while. And understand that what you're going through, what our nation's going through, is just for a little while in relation to eternity. But let me hasten on and give you something else. Not only the presence of the Holy Spirit of God and perception of time, but in chapter 11, in verse 23 and following, he says to them, he said, in that day you shall ask me nothing. Very, verily I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. He wants us to understand, and it's so simplistic, the power of prayer and the privilege of prayer. You have a time. If I could, I have a few things I'd like to say to Mr. Biden, but I wouldn't ever get a chance to do that. And if I did, I don't think it'd make any difference. Can you say amen? We have a representative type of government, but I'm mighty afraid that most of us don't really have good representation, because when they get to Washington, they don't believe what we believe evidently anymore. And they don't remember. They got short memories. They don't remember all their promises either. But my dear friend, can I say something to you? Well, I can't talk to the President of the United States at any time I want to. I can talk to the King of Glory. And that's what he's telling them. You're going to go through dark days, but I'm going to tell you right now, he said, the Father loves you because you love me. And he said, if you go to him in my name, he'll give you whatever you need that your joy might be full. Do you know that God can fill your heart with joy without changing circumstances? He doesn't have to change your circumstance for you to have joy and peace. That's documented in church history. Paul and Silas singing in prison at midnight. In Fox's Book of Martyrs, it tells about the saints of God who were burned at the stake, fed to the lions, and how they sang songs of praises, and they died with joy in their heart. God gave a peace of God that passed all understanding. In the hour they needed, God gave them that. And listen, here's the privilege of prayer. You can talk to him about it. I read a little statement one time, said, never discuss your problem with people that can't do nothing about it. Does that make any sense to you? Don't ever discuss your problems with people that can't do anything about it. It just makes it worse. It just reemphasizes it in your heart. And there's so many things in your heart, my life, and all of our lives, that nobody in this building, not even the preacher, nobody else, can do anything about it. But he said, if you call upon me, I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty thing. And who has that privilege? Everybody who has the Holy Spirit of God living inside of them. Here's comfort in terrible time. I don't care where you are. And during COVID, which I hated the experience of it, not only those who suffered, not only our church family that went on to be with the Lord, all those things, but the fact of isolation. That's one of the most horrible things, to be isolated. But if we could realize that we are never, ever alone, the Holy Spirit of God's with us, and that we have the privilege of prayer, we can talk to him at any time, speak to him. And he has the capability of, in our darkest hour, to fill us with joy. The privilege of prayer. Last thing this morning. Notice in the latter part of this chapter what he says in regard to his own thing. I just jump down real quickly. And he says that when you pray and you seek the Lord, he gives you a peace in your heart. He said, In this world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Let me read verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world, you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And not only is the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, not only the precept of time, and not only the power of prayer, but now the peace of Jesus. You can have that in your heart. He'll give you that peace of God that passeth all understanding. And you trust Him with all of your heart. Trust Him and know that He's going to take care of it. You have that peace of God. What gets us through terrible times? Oh, is that abiding presence of the Holy Spirit of God? It is the fact that we understand in concept of time, all of this thing going on here is just a short little while. It is the fact that we have the power of prayer and pray to Him at any time. And then it is that His promise of peace in a time of tribulation. He'll give you peace. No matter what you're going through, there'll be a peace of God that passeth all understanding. Will you bow your heads in prayer this morning? This promise that I'm reading to you here in John 16 is not for everybody, but it is for every believer. It is for every believer. For everybody who knows the Lord, do you believe? He asked the question, now do you believe? Now do you believe? And He goes on to tell what's going to happen. They're going to scatter. They're going to forsake Him, but the Father won't forsake Him. But He's not going to forsake them. I failed the Lord, but He's never failed me. I've got away from Him, but He never got away from me. And for you who are saved this morning, His abiding presence, these simple truths, the presence of the Holy Spirit of God in your life, oh, that wonderful concept of time, precept of time. This is just a short time, eternity. Compared to eternity, with no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more sadness. A brief time of separation from your children or from your husband or from your wife because they've gone on to be with the Lord. It's just a little while. And then you'll get to be with them for all eternity. And then the wonderful privilege of prayer that you, boys, girls, men, women, anybody who knows the Lord has access to the Father through Jesus Christ at any time. And then His promise of peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but He said, I'll give you peace. I can give you peace in times of trouble. But you must have Him. You must know Him. I am discouraged often about so few people coming to know Christ. I want to have the touch of God. I want to have the power of God. I want to preach the truth. I don't want to have any blood on my hands when I stand before the Lord. But I could wish that everybody would know Christ. But the reality is, the Bible said, broad's the way that leads to destruction, and few that find that path of life everlasting. I wonder what crowd you're in this morning. Are you part of the few who trusted the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you part of that great multitude that chose the broad way? My dear friend, I trust this morning you know Him. But if you don't know Him, you don't have to be baptized. You don't have to join a church. But you must repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have to do it individually. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He bore all of your sins in His own body on the tree. He's paid the sin debt. But you must accept that free gift of your own accord. Will you come to Him? Will you trust Him? If you would come this morning, believing in your heart, you can do it where you are, right where you are. You can call on Him. You can come to this altar. If something seems to me that it makes it more real and more a sealing and settled event, if you'll bow before Him in an old-fashioned altar. But for the believer, if you have been wrestling with fears and doubts and questions, I pray God will help you this morning to be blessed with comfort in terrible times. And then you can live a life of victory and joy. The Bible is looking for folk who got some hope in them. And then He says that they'll ask you the reason of the hope that's in you. Live like you're in victory. Live like the Holy Ghost of God's inside of you. Live like He's hearing your prayers. Live like you understand this is just a short time and your time's coming. Understand you're living in the peace of the Lord. It's not me. I hadn't taken a course on how to get my nerves calm. It's a work of grace. God gave me peace. God's given me peace. That's the reason for my hope, is the Holy Ghost of God and the Lord Jesus Christ living inside of me.